Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The study of Proverbs is a study in the search for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And in this book, it mentions several different types of people, some that we should try to emulate and some that we shouldn't. Mentions fools and scorners and the wise man, the prudent. But tonight I want to start with the simple because we see really, that's where we start in life. All of us were born simple, simpletons. Now, we shouldn't stay that way forever. Some stay that way longer than others. Some prolong that stage of life. And because you're simple doesn't mean that you're 5 years old or 10 years old. I've met people that were 25 and 30 years old that were still simple ones. And that should not be the case. But look what it says in verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. And let me explain to you what we're talking about. When we mention the word simple, someone that is simple, simply lacking knowledge and discretion. Someone that is silly, vulnerable, gullible. It's really a transitional stage of life. I want you to think about this for a minute. Because as we grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, we are supposed to leave that simple stage. And you know, those of you that are parents, you know your children were born simple and they have to be taught and instructed in everything in life. And regrettably, it's not just school that helps them get past that stage of life, but it takes a lot of instruction and reading and counsel and walking with wise people. And here's the scary thing about someone that is simple, he's in that transitional stage and could very easily go either direction. If he listens to the prudent, he can go the way of wisdom. If he listens to the fool, he can go the way of destruction. And here's what happens in life. The fools are more numerous. They are better at getting people's attention. The crowd is often more attractive. And often we find, even in Christian homes and Christian churches, young people that are simple follow the way of the fool or follow the way of the scorner instead of following the way of the wise. Now I want you to think about this tonight, and we'll use an example. Young Andrew over here is going to be our young man that is simple. These two benches tonight and only tonight are going to represent the fools. That's only for tonight because I need a big crowd. And this is the crowd that's calling the simpleton. Now over here, we have the wise. Now, here's what the simple has to do. He has to make a choice and he's going to determine a direction in life. His entire life is going to be decided by who he follows, who has his ear, who he listens to, and occasionally he'll glide and slide back and forth between the fool and the wise. But if he's not careful, here's what's going to happen. I want you both at the same time to very calmly appealing in the right way to get Andrew to come to your side. Thank you. Here's what you must understand. There are times when this is much more attractive. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So foolishness by nature is very attractive. It's easy to follow this crowd at the school. It's easy to follow this crowd after the school. There's foolishness that surrounds them, whether it's brought by the music or the TV or the electronics. Our society in general attracts the foolishness that's bound in the heart of the simpleton. Now, here's what we like to think, that somewhere deep down in their soul, there's a little bit of wisdom. No, that has to be imparted, implanted, instructed. That has to be taught on a regular basis, and you are the teacher. And here's what a parent wants to do. They want to say, well, I wish he would just choose right. No, he is a simpleton. He is without knowledge. He is without understanding. He is without wisdom. That has to be instructed and taught to him. Now, here's why I want to isolate my children who were born simpletons. They are growing in knowledge, growing in understanding, because I want them to become wise. And I want to isolate them from fools in life, because the more time they spend with fools, the more foolish they're going to be. Let me ask you this. They have to go to school. They have to be around other children. But are other children wise? They're just as foolish. Now, there are steps to becoming wise. That first step is prudence. So now, thankfully, we wouldn't look at Jonathan and say he's wise, but we would say he has grown in knowledge and understanding, so he's becoming more prudent. He's on the path to wisdom. Now, we have seen young people grow up in this church, and they have to make choices. Did you know, parent, no matter what you instruct, no matter how you teach, at some point, that child's going to turn 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and they must choose. And regrettably, some at 18 and 20 are still simpletons. They didn't listen to wisdom. They didn't incline their ear. They weren't attentive. Or they surrounded themselves with too many fools and increased in foolishness. You say that can happen in a Christian school. That can happen in a homeschool, Christian school, or any environment in life. Because this child has foolishness bound in his heart. You know what he likes? Well, I can't understand why he always wants to hang out with those people. I can understand because they're fools. He's foolish in his heart. He's simple, and a simpleton means he simply could go either way at any time. Now, I want you to notice a few characteristics of the simpleton, the simple one. Number one, the simple one is naive. Look what it says in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. Now, he doesn't have any experience. He doesn't have any knowledge. He doesn't have any understanding. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just go with Paul Waters back to the three-year-old church and look at all the simpletons. You'll find them in fourth grade and fifth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade and 10th grade and some in 12th grade and some in college and some beyond college. Because regrettably, they did not surround themselves with wise teachers. So now here's what's scary when you see people that surround themselves with fools or with scorners, they start going that direction. So instead of going the way of prudence, they go the way of fools and foolishness. How many of you have seen scorners at 15 and 18 and 20 years of age? What a scary place to be. Now, how did that happen? They chose their guides. A simpleton reaches his destiny through guidance. So that means that's where his guides took him. A simpleton doesn't end up with that destiny accidentally. There were guides. When we sent this group to the Amazon, they reached those villages, they reached those destinies on purpose, and it took someone that knew where they were going. And this is why you as a parent must be so extremely cautious in life. And this is why we as a church in every ministry must be extremely careful, because we are guiding young simpletons, and we want to guide them to a path of wisdom, which will be their shelter and protection for life. That's why we look in homes and we don't understand, well, why did some children make it and others didn't? Because some included guidance in their life that took them down a path of foolishness. Because The older kids, maybe they surrounded themselves with wiser friends, better counsel, less foolishness, and others were surrounded by constant foolishness that guided them the wrong direction. And as parents, we have to be able to identify that and say, I don't want my child headed down that path. That's why I like to pick my son's friends. That's why I'm glad to see him with Jonathan and Kyle and Pastor Robert and Brother Mark and Dan and Pastor Ben. And if I have him mow a yard or do a job, I want to make sure he's in the right environment. If I have him working on the computer, listen, I'm not going to tell my son, hey, go get with the high schoolers and do some computer work. No, that's the path of foolishness. He's a simpleton. Where's he going to end up? So I want to take someone who's already walked the right path, who's already shown some wisdom and say, okay, if you have to get on a computer, get with Brother Mark, because I know there's a safety net that says he has the right guidance, the right counsel, going the right direction. Otherwise, those simpletons, those three that I birthed, or my wife birthed, those three should not stay simple all their lives. Now, here's what we should do. We should be training them and teaching them and instilling knowledge and giving them daily instruction so when they're teenagers, they're already prudent. They can't be wise. They don't have life's experience, but they don't have to be naive. Because if they're naive, look what it says in Proverbs 14, 15. The result is going to be they'll be gullible. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. How many ever worked with kindergartners? Have you ever met a more gullible bunch in all your life? I can't believe how gullible fourth graders are and fifth graders. We have a camp in Mexico that I ran for years until I returned to the States. And every year, we would take those kids out late at night and tell them about this horrific animal called the snipe. And we'd jump from tree to tree and we'd make the noises and we'd take the kids out there. And every year we'd have girls faint. I'm talking about kids who were returning from the previous year. We didn't have to wait for a new bunch. That's how gullible a simpleton is. He believes every word he's told. Now, let me ask you this. If you know your child's a simpleton, you know he's like a blank sheet of paper waiting to be written on. Why would you allow that child, why would you allow that simpleton to be written on by a unsaved or heathenistic mindset, a humanist, someone who doesn't even believe the inspiration and preservation of this book, someone who's off doctrinally? Why would you put that child under their care knowing your child is naive and gullible and will not only listen but learn and adapt to whatever he's being taught? You say, well, he's in sixth grade. He should know. Oh, yeah. He has all of 12 years of experience. That's why you surround him with wise men until they get past these stages of life. Number three, the simple one lacks sound decision-making principles. This is why he needs to be guided. You say, well, you know, I don't believe that a parent should be that involved in the child choosing their mate. Well, it depends how much of a simpleton your child is. Do you understand how young a person is in their mind at 20 years old? And they're going to properly choose a mate? At 18 and 20, listen, there are young people getting married or engaged at 18 and 19 and 20 years old. At that age, you barely have 5 working brain cells. Good hearts, wonderful kids, just they don't have any mental traction. Here's what's funny about young people. You see in their eyes that they think that they've come up with this intelligent idea and they're going to surprise you with their great wisdom. And you get this faraway look like, wow, you may be simple for a long time to come. That's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But the longer it extends itself, the more dangerous it becomes. And here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for a Christian school and a Christian environment and a Bible college and all these things that can help prepare a child and protect them from the stupidity and the foolishness and the perversion of this world, because this is a young stage of life, a very important stage of life, where young people are learning character and doctrine and morals and all these steps in life, and it's everything is a gradual step, line upon line, precept upon precept. But here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that they go from that age and stage of life, from being a simpleton to being a prudent young person to becoming a wise leader, and that doesn't happen overnight. And this world is calling. And did you know, even within a church environment, there will always be some that are fools, some that are scorners. And you need to pick and choose wisely and say, I've got to get my young people around, if not the prudent, the wise people, and limit their time or eliminate their time that they're able to spend with scorners and fools. Listen, that's why you don't give kids a lot of money. You know what they're going to do with a lot of money? And a few brain cells. Get themselves in a lot of trouble. They're going to spend it. They don't understand the value of it. Number four, the simple one lacks in practical skills. Look what it says in chapter 9, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. What's it say? Knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house. A simple person doesn't know how to cook a meal, properly clean, change a tire, do some of the simplest jobs in life. You say, well, what's their problem? They have to be taught. They have to be instructed. You're not born knowing how to change a tire, change a spark plug, fill up a car. Now, you are born knowing how to use a credit card. That's the strangest phenomena of life. But everything else has to be taught. And here's what you've got to do with your child. You've got to teach him the most basic and the most practical skills, because here's what's going to happen. Here's a 20-year-old. They have a car. They get out on the road, get a flat tire, pull off the side. They don't even know what a wrench is or a lug nut or where the spare tire's at or the key to get it to free it. And they're looking around for 15 or 20 minutes and someone pulls up and they got the I'm a simpleton look written all across their face. What's even worse when they're 28 and they still got that look. What do you have? My tire stopped working. You are officially a simpleton. Kids ought to know the practical things of life. There are some that don't even know how to mix cleaning supplies, run a dishwasher. There are 18-year-olds, if you told them to wash their clothes, they'd get a puzzled look on their face. I thought clothes washed themselves. You threw them in a basket and they came out clean. That's called a simpleton. Number five, the simple one lacks in discretion. Look what it says in chapter 9. Let's keep reading that passage. Verse 15, here's what the woman does. She calls to the passengers who go right in their ways. Look what it says in verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. You know who's listening to the simple woman? Someone that's simple. They lack discretion. Young people, I love investing in young people, and I love working with young people. But here's what you find. There's no discretion. They're supposed to have some convictions and standards and Bible knowledge. But they can't even figure out what kind of music is wrong and right. And it, when you explain it to them, they got this strange look. Well, what's wrong with that? I don't see nothing wrong with that. It's what's wrong with your head. I don't care how I explain it. It's just the light's not coming on. Listen, by the time you're 13 or 14, you ought to have a filter for your mouth. How many ever met 20-year-olds that don't even have a filter? Indiscreet. You know why? They're a simpleton. That's who Solomon is addressing first in Proverbs, saying the problem is not being a simpleton. The problem is extending that experience and making it a lifetime. Now, that's a problem. Look what it says. Now, who is she calling in hither? The young man. Should anybody be a simpleton when they become a young man? No. Now, if we meet someone who is simple and they're 10 years old or 6 years old or 12 years old, that's understandable. You know what? Pastor Ben is very patient and kind with the teenagers because he knows, despite all the investment, despite the Christian environment, there's still years and years that have to be invested in young people before they get entirely past the simpleton stage. And he understands they have to grow in prudence at some point in their life, maybe at 50 or 60 or 80 or 160, somewhere in there, they'll become a wise person. But when you're dealing with someone who still knows nothing, a little bit of peer pressure, and he could go any direction at any time. You know what that's called? Simpleton. You know why we're proud of Jonathan? We're seeing Jonathan begin to bloom. That's called prudence, because now he can stand up on his own 2 feet and say, there are places I don't go. You know what a simpleton does. You never know where you're going to find him. Here's a simpleton. In the house of the wrong person, the wrong woman. Why? Because she flattered him with her lips. And he immediately fell in love. Well, she was in love with someone else the week before, and she'll be in love with someone else next week. But because he's a simpleton, never went to seek counsel, never went to seek advice, never gathered with the wise ones, never sat down and said, is this a good direction? How is this going to affect me? And a simpleton, you always find them in the wrong place. You'll find them late at night somewhere where they shouldn't be. That's anywhere outside their home. That's a simpleton. You say, well, I think he's a rebel. No, probably not. He's probably a simpleton in the path of rebels. He doesn't even know he's being led to the slaughter. He doesn't even know the consequence of his action because he has no understanding. He has no wisdom. He hasn't been surrounded by the right teachers, which are wise people. And here's the direct result. Go back to chapter 7, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. What's going to happen to an ox going to the slaughter? Till a dart strike through his liver. You know what the problem is with the simple one? He is short-sighted and ignorant of the consequences of life. And here's what you see, and here's where wise people become frustrated, because you have experience, you've seen over the past 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years of your life, there is a decision and then there's a consequence. There is a decision and then there's a reward. But at 18, they don't see that. At 16, they don't see that. They don't understand the consequence of driving too fast or running a yellow light or not listening to instruction or hooking up with the wrong people, or staying out or riding in the vehicle with someone they shouldn't be accompanying. And you're trying to get into their head. You're a simpleton. Wake up. Don't go there. Don't do that. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But what's the simple do? Passes on and is punished. How many times have your kids or your young people done something, you looked at them and thought, that was so stupid. What were you thinking? They weren't thinking. They are simpletons. They have to be taught to think. They have to be taught to look at the big picture. They have to be taught to foresee the consequence. And when they do that, they've stepped towards prudence. And if they do that long enough, they'll step right into wisdom. The only problem is they're not 35. They're 13. And all day long, they're surrounded by other simpletons that say, hey, what do you think? They don't know because they don't think. And then you get in the vehicle, you're about ready to blow a gasket. Your ears literally are about ready to explode off your head. Your face is red. Your tone is extremely loud, your decibel level's about ready to crack the windows in the vehicle, and you say, "What were you doing?"
"I don't know."
You know why they said, "I don't know"? Because they don't know. They truly don't know. They were born a simpleton. That's what instruction is for. That is what guidance is for. That is what counsel is for. That is what mommy and daddy are for. That's what teachers are for. That's what a church environment is for. That's what a youth leader is for. Thank God for Brother Nathan, and thank God for Pastor Ben, and thank God for Pastor Mark, and thank God for all these leaders and Mrs. Simpson. In each class, they get a little bit of wisdom here, a little bit of instruction here, a little bit of guidance here, and a little bit of counsel here. You know why? Because I want them on a path of wisdom. And if I isolate them from fools, I can isolate the foolishness that's bound in their heart and strictly deal with that. But if they get around fools, you know what's going to bloom and blossom? All that foolishness. It's much more natural for that kid to be a fool than it is for him to be a wise man. And here's where you know you still got a simpleton. When they can't stand up, they can't do what's right, they can't think clearly, they can't see clearly, you're constantly finding them the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. You say, "I got a rebel in my hand at 14. No, most likely you have a simpleton who's being guided by rebels. Now, here's what Proverbs does teach us. The simpleton doesn't have hope. Go back to chapter 1 and look what Solomon says is his hope. He simply needs the right guides. Now, here's what you ought to do as a parent. Instruct him, your goal, your desire ought to be wise. You know, I've met 20-year-olds that were beyond prudent, but they had spent a lot of time around adults that were wise. You don't get wisdom or glean wisdom by hanging around your peers. Here's what young people like to think. They seek counsel among their peers and think that's wisdom. What do you think? You think that's right? You think that's wrong? You know, let me give you a little math equation. 0 + 0 = 0. Okay, you understood the math equation. That's what you got. You need to go to someone who has experience. This is why those of you that are 55 and 60 and 65 and 70, you're so important to this church, because you should be hooked up to the younger generation and counseling and instructing and advising and sharing wisdom and saying, "Listen, I was there, I've been there." You don't want to go that direction. You don't want to take that path. You know what? It's a wise thing to hook your 18-year-old up and your 20-year-old up with Brother Sutton and send him out with Brother Powell for a dinner and hook him up with Brother Sergio, because you are going to get some help and your child is going to hear some wisdom, and they may not listen to you. They probably have, listen, their ear has been lent and bent to another 18-year-old who's as wise as they are. They're so wise they can't even locate the proper position for their pants. They don't even know which button to use on their shirt. They can't even figure out the sleeves protect them from sunburns. But they are going to counsel their peers. I know what your parents said, but let me give some good advice. Because I've been on this planet for 16 years. You haven't even been on this planet for 16 years. You've been in outer space for a long time. Welcome back to Earth. Amen. You need to surround that simpleton with wise men, wise people in a discreet environment where they're actually going to get help. Look what it says. To give subtility, verse 4, to the simpleton, the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, here's what's going to happen if he wants to become wise. A wise man will do what? Hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to what? Wise counsels. That's why if you go to every single one of these chapters, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, what's it all say? "Hear ye children the instruction of a father. My son, forget not my law, but keep thine heart in my commandments. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding." What is all of Proverbs talking about? Simple one, listen to the wise so you can quickly help yourself in life by becoming prudent. And if you're prudent long enough and you listen to the right people long enough, you can become wise, David. You don't have to be wise at 18, but you should already be prudent. Amen. You know what, it makes me nervous when we have someone who's already high school or college age that still hasn't even reached prudence. Their music is imprudent. Their friendships are imprudent. Their decisions are imprudent. And I'm saying, seems to me like they've surrounded themselves with scorners and fools. So we have a pretty good idea the direction they're headed. Look what it says in chapter 8, verse 1. You know what it'd be good this month while we're going through the book of Proverbs? To sit down and read Proverbs with your children. 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way and places of the path. She crieth at the gates at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is of the sons of man. O ye simple, look what it says. This is instruction to the simple ones. Understand wisdom, ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the openings of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And here's what we've done. We've surrounded our simpletons with those that speak untruths and perversions and wickedness and unrighteousness and wonder why they say the things they say and they do the things they do. You do not gain wisdom through Xbox, Facebook, cable TV. You gain wisdom from God and through walking with wise people. Proverbs 13:20, we'll read one more verse and be done. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'm going to tell you a story. We'll be done. Several years ago, we were in Mexico. Two kids, same age. One was brighter than the other one, if you just talk about level of intelligence. One was more talented. But they were both 16 when we met them, 18 when they started deciding who they would surround themselves with as far as friends and counselors and guides. One of them decided to latch onto fools, and the other one decided to latch onto wise men. Now, Edgar, when I saw him as a young teenager, I thought he doesn't have much potential. I don't know where he'll go, how God will use him. But here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, I want to be used of God. I want to go to Bible college." I said, "If you truly want to be used of God, here's what you need to do. Scrap all your old friends." She said, "All of them?" I said, "Every one of them. I want you to hang out with my assistant, Beto." And he said, "I need to make money this summer before I go to college." I said, "You can work for me. You work at my house. I'll pay you." And here's what he did. All summer, we were building our church building and building a house, and he worked with us. He spent nearly 3 months with the preacher and his assistant, went to Bible college with Brother Ramos. Now he's called to preach. Some of you have met him. He's going into the ministry, marrying a fine, fine young lady. That van that we sent to Mexico, he started a mission. Every Sunday, he puts about 20, 25 people in a 15-passenger van and hauls into Pachuca for church. That was because he said, "I don't know much. I'm a simpleton, but I'm going to surround myself with wise people and glean and gain some wisdom." And he has now stepped past prudence, and I would actually call Edgar wise. Now, on the same bench in the same church was a young man with more talent, more ability, named Rulis. He actually called that woman right there mama. But Rulis got into the professional rodeo scene, and he was really good. And the next thing you know, he had isolated himself from everyone that was wise and good and surrounded himself with fools. He was too big and too cool for a Christian environment. And the first night out on the town with his cowboy friends, he got with a girl. That was Friday night. On Saturday night, I got a phone call. mom that was sobbing so uncontrollably, I could barely discern the words that were coming from her mouth. But I said, listen, I need to get with you. She said, no, preacher, you don't understand. It has to be now. And they drove down from the mountain town and met me at the church. These were the words that she told me. Rudy's went out last night, got with a girl. And this morning, she called and said, Rulis, I just want you to know, I have AIDS. A companion of fools. Each one at 16 was a simpleton. One said, I'm going to listen to the call and the counsel of the wise so I can grow prudent and hopefully with time become wise as they are. And the other one said, I prefer to be a companion of fools. Same church, same opportunity. One said, I'm a simpleton that prefers fools. And the one said, I'm a simpleton that wants the guidance and the counsel and the instruction of a wise man.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.